May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was teaching languages, it was essential at the beginning of each lesson to review with the youngsters what they'd learnt in the last lesson, so that they were ready for the next step in the learning process. In our reading this morning, I like to think of Jesus doing something similar, a sort of test halfway through Matthew's account of the Gospel. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? On the day that Jesus was asking these questions, there was a buzz spreading about him. People must have been talking and speculating about this person who was clearly more than a simple carpenter from Nazareth. Those who didn't know Jesus personally but had seen the things he did tried to define him by comparing him with the great figures of their faith from the past. But what he really wanted to know was how his closest followers saw him. Who do you say that I am? I think it helps to imagine oneself there at that moment among the disciples. There's a brief silence. They've certainly never heard of or known anyone quite like Jesus. He'd already moved their faith experience beyond the prophets who'd gone before him. Then Peter, in his role as spokesperson for the others, finds words for what was going on in that silence. You are the Messiah. Did he say this with any ironclad certainty? I don't think so. I imagine that Jesus' question gave the disciples a sort of, ah, I see now moment, where all they'd learnt suddenly makes sense, the moment when they realised that this man, their friend and teacher, is something new and long awaited in their faith tradition. This Jesus is the Messiah. And once the word tumbles from Peter's lips and is out there among them, it changes everything. They now move from being a band of friends and followers into the life of discipleship. And it won't be an easy ride. These two questions that Jesus asks are also questions for us. First of all, what do many people today believe about Jesus? Some say he is God in a human body. Others say he was a great prophet, teacher and healer, but not divine. Some even say that he's a fictional character. Others believe he's irrelevant in this modern age. And some say Jesus is the one who'll make you fabulously wealthy. They do, really. Still others think he's their property alone and on their side over against others who don't fit neatly into their narrowly defined in-group of believers. We all know people like this. Where do we find ourselves in this field of answers? We do know the right answer. We've read Peter's answer, but today's gospel isn't about giving the right answer. It's not a test after all. It's not about what's in our head, but what's in our heart. It's about what lies at the core of our existence. Jesus is asking the disciples to consider what now centers their lives. What is the axis about which their world turns? It's not enough to just give the right answer. They are to become and reveal the answer by their lives, their words and actions. Those things for Jesus are foundational to a life of discipleship. It's the difference between believing in and believing, between belief and faith. For those of us who were taught about Jesus as children, believing in Jesus meant to believe what the gospel said about him. This wasn't difficult when I was little, but became more difficult as I grew older and began to question things for myself. After many years of searching and well into my 40s, I found out that believing in Jesus means something very different. I discovered that believe didn't originally mean believing in a set of doctrines. In both Greek and Latin, its roots mean to give one's heart to. It means to give one's heart, oneself at its deepest level, to the resurrected Jesus, the human face of God. It means developing a close personal relationship with Jesus, throwing oneself wholeheartedly into his mission, no matter what the cost, and trusting him to bring good into every situation. I'm reminded of the fairly well-known story of the world-renowned tightrope walker, whose incredible aerial feats in Paris at scary heights astounded everyone. Anyway, an American promoter challenged him to cross Niagara Falls on his tightrope. And he actually managed to do this, blindfolded and pushing a wheelbarrow. And he asked the American if he now really believed he could do it. "Of course I do, I just saw it for myself, didn't I?" "Good," said the tightrope walker. "Then you get into the wheelbarrow." That's the difference between belief and faith. Did anyone ever say to you when you were a child, "Actions speak louder than words"? That was my father's favourite truism when I'd been mean to my sister and was asked to say sorry. Sorry wasn't enough. I had to do something positive to make it up to her. A lesson well learned. Anyway, in the life of faith, our actions are often our first witness to what we hold to be true and real in our hearts. How we live and move in this world is the sermon that we each preach every day. So who do we say Jesus is through our lives? What if we are the only glimpse of Jesus that someone ever sees? What words of hope, healing, and resurrection assurance is our life preaching and giving witness to? Jesus is always pushing us to go deeper, to look within and discover who or what our life is centered on, and then to recenter. But we're all followers of Christ. Isn't he already our center? Maybe so, but what I find is that the life of discipleship is one of continual recentering. It's so easy to allow other things to become our center. Our spouse, children, friends, ambition can easily become the center of our life. I think we often discover what lives at the center of our world when the experiences and circumstances of life knock us off kilter. Everything is thrown into chaos, and we can struggle to regain our center. Sometimes that can mean that we've settled for something other than Jesus on which to center our lives. Our relationship with Jesus needs to be our true center. That doesn't mean there won't be difficulties, pain, or losses, though. It means that when they occur, the center holds everything together. When Peter declares, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God," he's recentering his life. He's saying what has to be said. Jesus is the key to the whole of God's relationship with what he's made. Jesus renames him and declares him to be the rock on which he will build his church. Whenever we recenter our lives on Jesus, we become a new person. We too become rock-like. With all its frailties, Jesus chooses human life and relationships to be the rock on which he builds his church. But it's not once and forever. We're not rocks that are unmovable or unchangeable. I see a picture of a rock being honed and shaped over time by the action of water. We too are honed and shaped by learning from our mistakes and taking in the living water which Jesus offers. Recentering is a lifetime's work, and it's not easy. It's something we do again and again, and we don't always get it right. I certainly don't. And look at Peter. He's the one of little faith, sinking in the water. He doesn't understand the parables. he argues with Jesus and ends up being called Satan. He falls asleep when he's supposed to be praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He denies knowing Jesus. Through it all, he was being shaped, formed and moulded into the rock Jesus knew him to be. Despite what it may look like, Peter clung to the centre. There's really nowhere else to go. Jesus' words, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church," are words of life. They were for Peter and they are for us. What Jesus says to Peter, he says to us all. Impulsive Peter certainly didn't act like a rock much of the time, and neither do we. But when Jesus chose his followers, he wasn't looking for models. He was looking for real people like you and me. He chose people who could be changed by his love. And then he sent them out to communicate that his acceptance was available to anyone, even those who often fail, like we do. Who do you say that I am? We're called not just to answer the question, but to go out and live the answer. Discover the rock that Jesus knows us to be. Can we live with hope in the midst of despair? Love our neighbours as ourselves, care for the poor, feed the hungry and defend the oppressed? Can we offer forgiveness despite our anger, pray when we're too busy to pray, love our enemies despite our fear, practice generosity despite our own money worries? When we recenter our lives every day on Jesus the Messiah, he will certainly enable us to live and serve in ways that will make others want to come and see what the holy source is that we are drawing such life-giving water from. So let's pray for God to lead us in this way. Dear Lord, we believe that when we turn our lives over to you daily, you reveal yourself through us in ways we can't even imagine. We recommit ourselves to your service this morning. May your good news be told and retold through us, that others who long for you may seek you and find you. In your name and for your sake we pray. Amen.